views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about the state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul. In your soul. In your soul. A city of dreams.
And the Cowboys.
All right. Good morning, Jefferson. Are we bright-eyed and bushy-tailed?
Not really. When I walked in and saw Jared, I thought Ashley's growing a beard.
Nah. She's off doing other things.
She is. That's our girl.
And Jared comes in and he helps us out whenever he can. He's going to keep his hand over the buzzer, so if Terry goes off the rails, he can push the button.
He doesn't listen to us, though.
Or not.
I guess you can't blame him.
All right, Terry, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, Wynn?
So far, so good. All right. Good morning, everybody in Jefferson. Enjoying the free, beautiful air out there. Smoke-free for the most part. Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Much better up here. Much better.
Yeah. Oh. Over the weekend, a couple days over the weekend, saw some smoke going off of by Mount Shasta.
Yeah.
It was kind of spooky. It's like, oh, here we go again. So,
well, we've got some fun things happening, and tomorrow night at 2570 Bonnie View Road.
At the nameless church?
Yes, that church shall remain nameless. But it is a church.
It is
the only church.
Yep.
And it's right there on the corner of Bonnie View and Eastside.
Mm-hmm.
And we will be having at 5:30 our Jefferson meeting, talking about some new developments, which we'll talk a little bit about today. Also, we will be having Patrick Jones in, and Patrick will be coming in at 6 o'clock. The Patriot meeting, he'll be discussing the new gun laws. And I know that with the election and everybody engaged in that, as well they should, the new gun laws are something we have to start looking at here after the election. We really need to be focused on.
You mean with all the gun laws we have, they can still make stuff up?
Oh, I'm telling you. I know that Patrick probably has a list. But also we will be doing our drawing for the gun. And if you have tickets, which many of you do, for this particular gun, then come to the meeting, and we'll be announcing the winner tomorrow night.
On Facebook Live.
Yes, sir. Oh, that's right. We are going to Facebook Live, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
I have to shave.
Take a bath.
Time for the
comb your hair.
Time for the monthly bath. Sitting on a bar stool. Kind of short and kind of square.
So if you haven't bought your tickets, get your tickets. I don't know if they're all sold yet. Are they all sold? Do you know?
Yes, they are. They're all gone.
Okay, good, good.
All gone.
Awesome. Well, then just get your stubs out, and if your name is called, then we'll figure out a way to get it to you.
Yeah. A week ago, Sal and I were in Yosemite and in Mariposa County and in Stanislaus County.
Mm-hmm.
Had a great meeting at Stanislaus, and it was really great. We met with the leadership there. The state of Jefferson, what a great bunch of people, and it was fantastic. We had a great dinner, we had a great meeting, got some action items going, which we'll talk about in a minute, that were duplicated the next night in Mariposa, and we went there and talked to that committee, and we talked to them Thursday night, not this last Thursday, the Thursday before, and on Friday morning, their group went around all through Mariposa and went to all the businesses, handed out brochures, business brochures, and signature sheets to the businesses that would take them. We have one young lady who's on the Chamber of Commerce and who's the secretary for that, who flies a flag and has a big banner on her farm that I guess her family's been there since 1852. But Mariposa is a wonderful little town.
So they're newbies to the county, are they?
Yeah, newbies to the county, yeah. But it was great because a lot of the people there are just so engaged in liberty. It was kind of fun. We walked into one particular gem store. There's a lot of them there. Walking into one particular gem store, and the gentleman who owned it, his name was Todd. Boy, I'll tell you what. I mean, he really had it down. I mean, the water issues, all that great stuff. And I know we're going to have Mark Baird call in here in a bit, and he's going to expound a bit on what the president did, which was a good thing.
What, we have water issues here in California? In California? Are you kidding? Another way to control all the sovereign citizens of the state?
Yeah, and kudos to Tom McClintock for getting in there. And, absolutely. You know, I mean, you know, these guys, he did something right, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And so he went in there and, I mean, with all these water issues, you know, that we have here, McClintock was there.
Where are the rest of them?
Well, McCarthy was there.
Oh.
And there was some other people from the Central Valley there, other elected officials. It was, I mean, it was a good group of folks. So if you have any questions or you have any comments or any information that you want to give us on anything, the phone number is 605-4567, 605-4567. One of the things that that we will be doing is looking forward to, after the election, of having a Second Amendment rally. We're thinking about doing that. We've talked to some folks down in Cottonwood. We're looking at doing that because we need to make sure that people understand in the different counties what these gun laws are going to be. Mm-hmm. And also there's an effort afoot to have an injunction that would make the state of California comply with the Hawaii ruling of the Ninth Circuit with Young versus Hawaii. That open carry is a right. There's been some interesting discussion with different sheriffs in different counties about this, positions they hold. California is an interesting it, what interests me, and I'm just going to leave you kind of like with this point, but what interests me about especially things like the Second Amendment and, frankly, the whole Constitution is we have law enforcement officials that have sworn to uphold the California Constitution and the United States Constitution. I wonder when the last time they read it was, and also if they've ever read it.
And they're in conflict.
And just for the, I mean, it has been discussed, Article 3, Section 1 of the California Constitution specifically states that California recognizes the Constitution of the United States as the supreme law of the land, and California is an inseparable part of the United States of America. So, sheriffs out there, if in fact that's the case, then the Second Amendment is the Second Amendment, and the right to bear arms shall not be infringed upon, period. It trumps everything else, according to your own Constitution, if you read the Constitution, the California Constitution. So, I know some of the excuses have been, well, you know, if there's open carry, it scares our police officers. Well, gosh, how do the 40 states plus that have open carry, how do their police officers act? I mean, does it scare them? And
do they shake in their boots?
Yeah, I mean, seriously, it scares them. It makes them nervous. Well, let's make sure we don't make anybody nervous in their job. And that's not a slight to anybody. And I don't really think that a lot of law enforcement officials believe that. I mean, there's many things you can do. You could have open carry with a holster that has where that holster is has something specifically on it.
A seal of approval.
A seal of approval, so to speak.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of things you could do. So really and truly, is that a control issue? I'd like to hear your comments and thoughts on that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, with that, I think we'll go off to our first break.
Okay.
And time has come.
For 51.
Did you know that California was never supposed to be just one state? Before the state was formed in 1850, there was discussion of forming three states instead of one. California has an area larger than seven East Coast states combined, and it takes 14 hours to drive from one end of the state to the other. California is simply too large to govern. Rural communities are being outvoted by more densely populated areas. The state of Jefferson is the solution. Please visit SOJ51.net to show your support.
KCNR 1460, your town hall of the Shasta County airwaves with news and talk that matters to our community. Weekdays 9 to noon, the Laura Ingram Show, your healthy radio addiction. Dave Ramsey from noon to 3, celebrating 25 years of answering life's tough money questions. And 3 to 6, Drive Home with Mark Levin, one of America's most popular conservative commentators and constitutional expert. KCNR 1460, with you throughout the day on your radio or streaming live. Miss a day, miss a lot.
This is Carl Vaught, and I'm with Dan Scott of Eagle Eye Painting. And Dan's doing all the painting in our new studios. Dan, you've been doing this for 20 years. What should people be looking for at this time of the year?
Peeling paint, moisture in their wood, moisture in their stucco would be a couple things to look for. And then they know it's time to paint.
You've got, with 20 years in the business, where are some of the places you've been working at around here?
I've painted Riverview Golf and Country Club, SJ Denim, Market Street Steakhouse. Those are just a few I've painted.
The thing I like about Eagle Eye Painting is when you give an estimate, that estimate stays there. It doesn't change halfway through the job.
No, there's no variation in my proposal. I have confidence in my numbers, and I stick to those. DanScottPainting.com, 530-400-5152. Eagle Eye Painting, a clear vision of craftsmanship. Eagle Eye Painting.
Chad Prather, the political cowboy, is coming to Reading Civic Auditorium January 12th for the Star Spangled Banter Comedy Tour.
Let's talk about these protesting college kids. What are you protesting? The American political process, the Electoral College, the Constitution? No. You just didn't get your way. Get back into Starbucks and yell about your latte order getting messed up.
See Chad Prather at Reading Civic Auditorium January 12th. Tickets start at $29. Get yours at ReadingCivic.com or by calling 530-229-0022.
We're teasing you. All right. So we're back from the break.
We are back from the break. And, you know, the Second Amendment is going to be an interesting, it's going to be very interesting what happens in California.
Well, it's the right that protects all the others.
It is. Totally. The second protects the rest.
Yeah.
No question about that.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that, I think the discussion is one that, that we should have. As far as what your beliefs are. See, it all goes back to choice, you know, whatever you believe. But, you know, the Constitution is the Constitution is the Constitution. And talking about the Constitution and talking about someone who knows the Constitution and talking about a Second Amendment advocate, Kimo Sabi.
Mark, good morning.
Hey, everybody.
How you doing?
Morning, guys. How you doing?
Doing well.
Good. So you're talking about the Second Amendment now?
We were.
Yeah. It's that's a tough one. I was looking in the chat room and somebody said that there, you know, that there's a Second Amendment case that just came out of Hawaii and that is Young versus Hawaii, and that Judge O'Scanlan ruled that the Second Amendment applies to the individual from Heller and McDonald cases, and that it is open carry, it's a protected right, and that right extends into the public area, not just limited to your home, as California would like you to think, and some other states, Illinois, New York, some of the real socialist states. And then someone asked, well, so then we have Second Amendment here, and the answer to that's no, because unfortunately, I mean, look at Heller versus D.C., which ruled that open carry is the protected right and that it is a right unconnected with militia service, it's an individual right, and so on, and we still don't have a Second Amendment. And then McDonald versus City of Chicago, United States Supreme Court, ruled that the Second Amendment applies to the states. And then you have California's Constitution, Article 1, Section 1. We're born free and independent beings, and as such, we enjoy certain inalienable rights. Among those, and I'll skip part of it, is the right to protect our property. And if your life isn't your property, I don't know. You know, it's not very useful to have a motorcycle if you can't even protect your life. I mean, why would you want to protect your car when you can't even protect your own life? So your life is your property, and you have the inalienable right in California to protect that life. Then you look at Article 3 of the California Constitution, Article 3, Section 1. California is an inseparable part of the United States, and the United States Constitution is the highest law in the land. And then you look at the oath of office in Article 20 that every one of these crooked liars is supposed to take in Sacramento, including the governor and all the liars that work for the governor and his 575 state agencies and the liars in the assembly and the Senate that also take this oath. And that oath has changed, though, recently. It used to be, I swear to support and defend the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of California against all enemies, both foreign and domestic, and I do so without any mental reservations, blah, 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 blah. And now it's changed to I swear or affirm, or, you know, I affirm that I won't run that red light. No one talks like that, and it has no meaning. But anyway, these liars are supposed to take this oath, swearing to uphold the Constitution, and yet in California, the Second Amendment, an inalienable right, what William Blackstone calls an absolute right, what John Locke calls a natural right, derived not from law, but from nature and nature's God, what Marcus Cicero called a right derived not through training, but from nature itself, the right to defense without giving way. And once again, William Blackstone called that an absolute right that all men and women have, regardless of whether they participate in society or not. You have the right to protect your own life. I mean, that's just, to me, that's just plain common sense. It shouldn't even be subject to law. And in fact, in Cruikshank versus United States, the United States Supreme Court affirmed that the Second Amendment is totally unconnected with the Constitution because it is a right that human beings have that predate the Constitution. And it is wholly unconnected with militia service, according to Heller. In fact, when you look at it, it is a right that has to predate militia service. In other words, you had to have already owned the gun or you couldn't even be in the militia, because one of the requirements for belonging to the militia was you had to have your own gun. And I can prove this because on April the 19th, 1775, in Lexington Green, 70 men stood there with their own guns, while the legitimate government of the day came to take those weapons from them and to arrest or kill John Hancock and John Adams. That was their purpose. The legitimate government, the British government, which we were all subject to, came to murder two of their own citizens and strip those people of their powder and shot and their weapons if they could. That was the purpose of the legitimate government. And so the people exercised their absolute right to defense of self, community, state, and nation by standing in Lexington Green with guns they already owned and guns they walked out the front door with and walked down the public street to Lexington Green and told the government, we will not go quietly. We will not give up our liberty. Now ask yourself in California, could you do any of that?
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. And you're absolutely correct. I mean, the thing is, too, is that, you know, we talk about, as you were saying, you know, you've got open carry is a right, and concealed carry is not a right. And I know that even our sheriff made the comment, well, you know, if you have, you know, most criminals aren't going to open carry. They don't want you to have a weapon. They're going to have something that's going to be hidden so you can't see their weapon. Okay, well then, if it's open carry, then probably the criminals wouldn't have it out there to see for God and everyone to see. And I know there's been some, well, how do you know whether they're good guys or bad guys? Well, maybe with the open carry on your holster, you can have something that identifies the fact that, you know, you have an open carry permit. I mean, there's probably a lot of things we could do, but I know some of the responses from sheriffs have been, well, yeah, it's the law, but you know what? We just don't issue open carry permits. What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, look at that statement on its face. Okay, so Shasta County all counties in California are may issue. So let's look at the Second Amendment with regard to may issue, shall issue, and things like that. So you have an amendment that says a well-regulated militia being necessary to the maintenance of a free state, and I'm messing the words up, but people know them, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Okay, so now you have a California who has a very complex web of deceitful common sense gun regulations. And in that spider web, that unimaginable socialist morass of unfulfilled liberty, you have this construct by the state that's after the Mumford Act in 1967, where the state banned the open carry of a loaded weapon, and then AB 1557 in 2013 and AB 147 in 2012, where the state banned the open carry of an unloaded pistol or rifle. Now you have sheriffs in each county who sit in dictatorial positions where they may issue a concealed carry permit if you meet the requirements and if you can show good cause. And who are you showing good cause to? This one individual. So he sits in as the ultimate determiner of your liberty. Now, in Shasta County and Siskiyou County, they have a may issue scheme where the sheriff does issue to anyone who can pay for the permit and who can pay for the training and who completes the application and who can pass the background check and so on and so forth. So they will issue the permit. But now let's go to the 26150B2 permit, which your sheriff is allowed to issue in Shasta County, and my sheriff is allowed to issue in Siskiyou County. And what does the sheriff say about that? I'm never going to give one of those permits up. Never. So it doesn't matter whether you – because, see, what he has done is he said, well, you may get this permit if I give it to you, and you can hide your gun under your shirt. But you are never going to open carry a pistol in my county because I will never give you a permit for that. Well, why? And he says, well, because my officers wouldn't know who the good guys with their guns showing and who are the bad guys with their guns showing. Well, here's my first question. This is an obvious question. How do you know who the good guys are with their guns hidden under their shirt? And how do you even know the bad guys with their guns hidden under their shirts? I mean, this is circular logic. You don't have any more idea who the good guys and bad guys are with their guns hidden under their shirts than you say you'd have if their guns were out. But at least if their guns were out, you'd be able to see them, and you'd know. And the Second Amendment, open carry is a protected right to prevent unmanly and cowardly assassinations, and that logic comes from Heller versus D.C. So I think that this circular logic is designed because these police officials think that they're protecting their own. It has nothing to do with protecting your liberty. They don't care about your liberty, not really. They care about protecting their own, and that's all they care about, and the sheriff said that.
Well, you know, I think
plain language.
Yeah, I think that, and that sort of goes all the way through a lot of different bureaucracies and elected officials. I know that even one particular gentleman who had been on the city council, he had been a state senator, et cetera, retired from city council and retired basically from public life. He did his little speech at city council, and not once did he thank a constituent. All his thanks was the people of the city of Reading that work for the people of the city of Reading and the government workers, and you guys are great guys, and don't let them tell you that you're not, and you've just done such a great job. Thank you guys for everything. Not a word to his constituents. And I think that that runs parallel to a lot of what happens. I mean, rarely do you see a lot of people, with the exception of our president, but rarely do you see a lot of people even getting rid of their staff when their staff does outrageous things with these elected officials. But
well, yeah, you're absolutely right about that. But let's take this back to the Second Amendment itself, because here's what we know about elected officials just in general. And yes, there are exceptions. There are terribly good men and women who sacrifice everything to try to deliver on their promises to their constituents. And then there are the worst kind, the Nancy Pelosi's and Dianne Feinstein's, who use their office to, and Gavin Newsom, whose only goal is to enrich themselves and their family off their offices. And then there's everybody in between.
Yes.
So yeah, we have that, and that's politics, and we know that. And that's why we want Jefferson to suck the money out of the game so that we get more of the former and less of the latter.
Yes.
But let's go back to the Second Amendment. You know, here's the deal. The Constitution doesn't bind people. It binds government.
Right.
Now, government has found a way through the courts to legislate what they call, what they think is morality. Governments have found ways through the courts and the legislatures to enact unconstitutional laws, which we, the people, sat there and let them do. And here we are now, and it's our own fault. It's no one's fault but ours. We've done this to ourselves. But we can fight this, because the Constitution was never meant to protect us from changing times or from improving weapons or any of the stuff that the gun grabbers and socialists or the statists and the entrenched politicians or the sheriffs who claim they're for liberty but don't stand up for it, not even on their best day. The Constitution was never meant to protect us from changing times or better weapons. It was meant to protect us from the good intentions of well-meaning tyrants.
Well, you know,
and they mean well, right. But they mean to be your master.
Well,
your sheriff is your master, and he said so. I want to protect my officers. I don't want to protect your liberty. Your liberty is different from protecting my officers. Now, I believe that he's wrong in that assessment. Yeah. I don't believe that he's protecting his officers by saying, hide your gun, because criminals hide their guns anyway. You know, you're not going to find a bunch of bank robbers shouldering their MAC-10s as they walk through the front door of the bank. They're hidden under their coats. The guns are already illegal. The criminals hiding them is already illegal. Robbing the bank is illegal. Murder is illegal. Mayhem is illegal. Brutalizing a spousal partner is illegal. Murdering someone over road rage is already illegal. Criminals conduct illegal behavior all the time. That has nothing to do with liberty. And that's where I believe, in my heart of hearts, that your sheriff is mistaken. He's not protecting anyone by taking everyone's liberty away.
Well, you're simply right about, you know, one thing, Mark. I mean, that's very true. And the idea of being dictatorial, yeah, I can issue it, but I'm not going to. The other thing is that you were talking about the Second Amendment, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Now, the security of a free state, when that amendment was written, we weren't at war with anybody. We weren't at war with Great Britain. That was to protect us from our government, so that our government, as you just said, the well-meaning tyrants, basically wouldn't be trying to take us over. I'm becoming very disillusioned with some of the particular people that are in office, and disillusioned with the fact that, you know, you do have sheriffs, not all of them, but you do have sheriffs that can do something like that, but again it's like you said, it's not like circular logic. But I know in talking to the sheriff here, when he made the comment that, gosh, you know, criminals wouldn't carry that gun open. Well, then why wouldn't you issue it? Oh, because we just don't do it. Because of our officers being afraid of seeing those guns around. It would make them nervous. Well, I think this is his exact words. And I mean,
yeah,
that's disturbing. That's disturbing.
And here, what I'd like to do is I'd like to, everybody listening, get a pencil and a paper out real quick, just very quickly. And I'll talk about that for 1 second before I come back to why I want you to have the pencil and paper. I believe, yes. And once again, I don't want to make this about elected officials, because we've done that part to ourselves. We elected these people. And we elected them partially based on promises they made that they don't keep. We elected them partly because we didn't know what to ask them, you know, in order to get the right guy in the job, or didn't ask them. and we made these mistakes because we vote out of convenience, not out of a research and a true quest to find someone who will stand for our liberty. So, but anyway, let's go back to the liberty that the Constitution gave us. Governments were instituted among men in order to secure the rights of the governed, deriving all of their just power from the governed. So we have a constitution in place that guarantees us the right to keep and bear arms, and that right shall not be infringed. We have a Supreme Court case that affirms that. We have another Supreme Court case that says that that applies to the states, and now we have a Ninth Circuit case, Young versus Hawaii, that says that the right of the people to keep and bear an operable and loaded weapon in public is the core right to the Second Amendment. And then we have the state of California that is hiding under the desk and will not obey that Supreme Court opinion, even though the Ninth Circuit en banc case, Chambers versus United States, directs every trial judge in the circuit to obey published law of the Ninth, which is Young versus Hawaii. So California has a clear mandate, and they will not follow it unless we make them. And that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to find a federal attorney to help me file an injunction against the state of California, which I'm quite willing to pay for. And yes, I will accept help from my friends, but this is on me. I'm doing this on my own. This is not a Jefferson deal. It's not a CFR deal. This is my deal. And yes, I would take help from anyone with advice, input, the name of a lawyer, money help once I get to court, whatever it takes. But we can make the state of California obey the Ninth Circuit and give ourselves some liberty if we can just pull this off. And that's what I'm attempting to do. Now, here's the reason I want people to have a pencil and paper. I want you to write this down. California Penal Code, Section 26150. 26150. And then in parentheses, small b, and then in the next set of parentheses, the number 2. That is the California Penal Code that gives sheriffs in counties with less than 200,000 people the authority to issue a permit for the open carry of the exposed carry of a loaded handgun. So if you live in a county with less than 200,000 people, your sheriff can give you one of these permits. And I would like each and every one of you that has the ability to do it or wants to, I would like you to ask your sheriff for one. I've asked my sheriff for one, and he says he's a constitutional sheriff. I've asked him 3 times, and he's ignored me 3 times. And now I'm going to sue the state over it. I am not going to sue my sheriff because it is the state's attorney general that says that this permit is a may issue, not shall issue. And also, I have a fundamental problem with asking the government for permission to do something that I have the inalienable, God-given constitutional right to do anyway. And so I'm going to sue the state, not my sheriff, to force them to honor the Constitution, which they claim in California's Constitution, Article 3, Section 1, is the highest law of the land.
Right.
But I want you, test your sheriff. Ask him for one of those permits. See where he stands on it.
Well, we did that.
Yeah, and
the response is archived.
Right, and he said he would never issue one of those. Never. Those were his words. So let's see, where do these constitutional officers stand? Because that will tell you where you stand. And it matters how you stand.
You know, I think a lot of it is, the situation of not wanting to do that, and, you know, the shall and may, and that the issue of it doesn't matter who you are, we're going to do it this way. Again, is quite dictatorial, and I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure how those kinds of things play out before an election. After you're elected, you have a little breathing room, I guess. But very interesting that we're seeing some. If the argument was something that was, I don't know. I mean, just something that had some sort of common sense to it. But the idea of it makes my officers nervous. But you know, gosh, the criminals have They're the ones who conceal it. They don't have it open. I mean, my question was, well, which side of the coin are you on here? I mean, what, you know, it's on the one hand it's this, and on the other hand it's that. I mean, you know, but you're taking a stand in a position to where you're actually giving the opportunity for criminals to exist, I think.
It's just going to take time, too, for the sheriffs and deputies, police officers, all law enforcement, to get used to seeing sovereign citizens walking around with their gun on their hip. It's just going to take time.
That's another aspect of this that was lost on your sheriff, and it was lost on my sheriff. And I wrote to him about this, and I made these suggestions. I mean, look, we were denied our liberty in 1967 with the Mumford Act. That denied us Second Amendment liberty, and we did nothing. We were denied the additional liberty of carrying the unloaded weapon with a magazine within arm's reach anyway. At least you could load the darn thing and maybe use it in 2012 and 2013. That was the final cap in our denial of Second Amendment liberty. That's true. So we haven't had any liberty since 2013, and everybody's been begging the government for permission to hide their gun under their shirt and worrying, scared to death, that they forgot to bring a cover shirt when they get to the market. So now you have to shove your gun under the seat where any thief can steal it, and you can't go in this building and you can't go in that building. So you're constantly trying to figure out ways to dispose of your gun for 15 minutes while you run in to pay your property taxes or whatever. We lost those liberties. They're gone. What we're trying to do is get them back again. So I talked to the sheriff. I wrote him a very detailed letter saying, look, with the 26-150 B2 permits, we could reintroduce liberty in a way that won't scare anybody. You know, look, I'm not a fan of begging the government for permission, but that's the system we have right now until we change it, which I'm trying to do. And here's the thing, folks. Are you trying to do something? Or are you just sitting there going, woe is me, I really hate California? I'm trying to do something about it. So within that process, why couldn't a sheriff issue that permit to you? In other words, if you have a concealed carry permit, just make it an any kind of carry permit. And then you put your little permit on your belt right next to your gun. That way, when his scared little officers happen to stop in to get a coffee and a donut, and they see your gun, they can also see, oh, no, he's passed a background check because his little begging for the government permission slip is right next to his gun. So that's a way for the sheriff, an easy way, a cost-free way, an angst-free, an anxiety-free, and a fear-free way to reintroduce the idea that people will see guns in public and they don't need to hide under the desk and cover the back of their head with their hands. You know, you can slowly reintroduce the idea that people have always done this in our nation. And it wasn't until recently that they stopped doing it. And no one has to be afraid. No one has to be worried. And then when we get this thing reversed in court, people will already be used to the idea.
Well, yeah. And a lot of these sheriffs were either deputies or maybe ranking officers in the sheriff department when we did have open carry in California. And the other thing,
what did they do then?
Yeah, well, I mean, we had open carry up until, well, not all that long ago. We had open carry. You couldn't have, it couldn't be loaded, but you could have open carry. You'd have to have the bullet somewhere else. But,
well, that's what I say. In 1967, it was, you stopped being able to wear a loaded weapon. And then but in 2012 and 2013, you couldn't even carry an unloaded weapon.
Yeah,
but you know, what happened before? I can remember, in 1980 or 1990, I didn't, every day I left the house, I didn't strap on my pistol. Just because you have the right, you people may or may not use it. I mean, but the idea about the Second Amendment is this: when evil approaches you, it doesn't know whether you're availing yourself of the Second Amendment or not. That's the point of it.
Yeah, and, you know, again, it's the type of thing where, you know, when you look around at the people in the county and the people that would ask for those particular permits, that's surprising to me because I know that, you know, if it's a May issue, you could issue it to certain people.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you were talking about, you know, you couldn't sue the sheriff anyway because we're a May issue. And so he, in that discretion, you can't sue him anyway. So you'd have to go after the attorney general. But the real deal is that when we look at what's going on with each one of these particular voices saying, well, we back the Constitution, we're constitutional sheriffs. Well, are you? Because even if you have a May issue, I mean, if you have somebody that has a clean background, somebody who's a citizen that has never had any issues, somebody who can pass the background test, then, I mean, seriously, we just don't do it for anybody? Okay, well, that's just, I mean, to me, the reasoning is the problem. And again, I think you hit the nail on the head. You know, if you really are an elected official that's looking out for the folks and looking out for your constituents and your community, then why wouldn't you have something that would deter crime like open carry on citizens? And Wynn Carpenter, I think, was the first one that I heard bring up the idea of something on your holster that would identify you as somebody who has passed the background check, who has this 26-150B and so permit. And so I think you guys made a good point on that. Mark, stay with us. We have Nick on the line. He's on the other line. How you doing, Nick?
I'm doing great. Hey, Mark, would you repeat those numbers for that open carry permit? I will go down in the next week or two, and I'll apply for one.
Okay, it is California Penal Code 26150. That's 26150.
Okay.
And then in parentheses, the letter small b, close the parentheses, then the next set of parentheses, the number 2.
Okay.
26150B2.
I've got it. I'll go to where they issue the concealed carry, and I'll tell them this is the kind of permit I want.
Yeah. I mean, you have what county do you live in, and if you want to stay on the air?
I live in Shasta. I think we qualify, don't we, Terry?
Yeah, we do. We're under 200,000. Yep.
You do.
I'll do that in the next couple weeks.
I think you should make your demand in writing at the time that you present yourself, because if I need witnesses in my suit later, maybe I could call on you and you could say, yes, I went to the sheriff. Here's the letter I presented him on this date and this time. And on this date and this time, he refused me and said, I never give those permits out. You know, so because here you have a concealed carry, which has already been ruled in Peruta v. San Diego en banc, and the Supreme Court refused to hear the case, pick it up. So that is the law as far as the Ninth Circuit's concerned. That is the law. Now, I don't agree with this, but let's operate from what's real. And that case says concealed carry is not a protected right. It falls wholly outside of the Second Amendment. And Heller v. D.C. agrees with that. So concealed carry is not your right. It may be granted to you as a privilege. And remember, if permission is required, permission can be denied. Rights don't require permission. So now, if concealed carry is not a right, but the Second Amendment says the right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed, and Heller versus D.C. says the Second Amendment is not a second-tier right, it is a first-tier, an enumerated, inalienable right, then open carry must be the right, and rights don't require permission. So if
that's
you go tell your sheriff,
right.
I want a paper,
you know,
I want a little permission
here,
slip that says I can carry openly, and he says no, then he is helping the state of California to violate the United States Constitution, and he knows it.
Hey, guys. I want to, Nick, could you repeat what you said, buddy? I know it's hard to hear the other person on the phone.
Well,
sometimes.
I just wanted to tell Mark that he's absolutely right. I will go down and I'll hand-deliver a letter. And I'll email a letter also, hoping for a reply.
Okay, now start a file. At this date and this time, I wrote an email. At this date and this time, I went to the sheriff's department and I asked for this permit. And at this date and this time, I was either granted this permit or denied this permit. This is who I talked to, and this is what he said. And start a file, because we need a paper trail in order to connect these dots.
Okay, you've got it. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, Dan.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, Mark, you know, one thing that I wanted to point out to folks, and as we've had this conversation today, which I think has been excellent, and thank you so much, what does the Second Amendment have to do with Jefferson? Everything. Here's why. The position of Jefferson is representation. We all know that representation is a silver bullet. We all know that we don't have adequate representation in the state of California. That's why we did what we did. That's why we have Citizens for Fair Representation, filing a lawsuit against the state of California because of lack of representation, dilution of vote, and also a position of just not being able to have our voices heard. When you have one senator for every million people, an assemblyman for every 500,000, there's no question about the fact that that's tyranny. How do you protect that? Well, you protect that with the Second Amendment. Hey, folks, if they go ahead and they put you in a position where you have no stand at all as far as the Second Amendment goes, in a position where you have no stand at all to protect yourself, then that's going to be an interesting time for us. We do have Susan on the other line. Susan, how are you this morning?
Hi. I called the show, this one or the one after you, a couple weeks ago when you were asking for some help on somebody to know
who knows the president, and I'm glad you called.
Jefferson, yes. And left my number. I didn't get a call back.
Yeah, and the reason you didn't is because I didn't get the number. Can you give me your
off air?
Yeah, if you give your number off air to Jared, he will write it down and give it to me.
There's some important stuff I have found out. I've been following this retired Marine Colonel Field McConnell.
Okay.
And I'm going to Dallas to Operation Classified, and I want to get some PowerPoints to take to him about what's been going on, because he's done a lot of talking about our court system. I don't know if you know about the gold fringe flag.
Yes.
I don't know you know that when you go into the courtroom, don't call him Your Honor, call him Judge. The minute you say Your Honor, they just pretty much dismiss you, because they're executing maritime law with gold fringe flags.
Hey,
you
Susan,
Google
Susan,
that and find out about it.
Susan, we only have a couple of minutes.
This
Susan,
man,
hello.
Says he is one of the people doing the planning of taking our country back, because apparently in 1871, our Congress has basically sold us out to England. We're not even a country. We're a corporation.
Yeah, Susan? Susan, can you hear me?
Yes, barely.
Oh, good. Okay, you can barely hear me. I know that sometimes there's a problem with the telephone system here. I don't know what it is. But anyway, during that time, and you did, I remember that you did call in, and again, once we get off the line here, we'll get your phone number. I'll have Jared get that. But the question that I was asking is, does anybody know Donald Trump?
Let me finish.
If someone knows Donald Trump, and someone could hook us up with somebody who could talk to Mark Baird,
that would
maybe
be
Donald
Phil McConnell.
Okay, that's.
I can give him his email. He can send it straight to him.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So if you would give that information, we'll get that from you. And thank you so much. I'm really glad you called back, because we didn't get that number.
I'll give my phone. I'll give everything.
Are you located, by the way, in Shasta County?
Yeah.
Great. Okay. Thank you, Susan. I'm gonna have Jared get your number right now. So stay on the line. Okay.
Okay.
See, that's what it takes.
Yep. Kimasabi.
Takes sovereign citizens to help each other out.
Yeah. Yeah, still here.
Good. What say you?
Well, I mean, liberty, this is the fight for liberty. It's the fight we're in. It's the fight we've always been in. But I have to say, we've got to start doing things. You know, talking about it is great, but we need to start doing things. And we can all do these things. Maybe we all can't do the big thing. Maybe I can't. Maybe you can't. But we can all do little things that will help us lead to the big things. The first thing we have to do is we stand to lose what precious little liberty we have if Gavin Poop on the Street, mayor of San Francisco, wins for governor. You know, because the flood of unknowable, unregulated illegal immigration is coming our way. And it's already been shown that gangs, terrorist drugs, fentanyl, you know, drugs kill 72,000 people a year in this country, and they're flooding across the southern border with the open borders idea. And the sanctuary state thing is unconstitutional. Stop the liars and crooks. Vote. Encourage your family and friends to vote. Vote this November. We all have to vote. We can win if we vote. we have enough conservatives and independents and declined states to win any election we want in this state if we just vote. So your first step toward liberty is vote and convince everyone you know they should vote too. I'm not going to tell you how to vote. Your God and your conscience will tell you that. But if you don't vote, then you are worse than nothing, because you are nothing more than a summer soldier and a sunshine patriot, and you turn your back on your country when she needs you the most. Vote. The next thing we can do, assert your inalienable rights. Ask your sheriff for one of these permits. Even if you live in a county with more than 200,000, be sure that you document it is not fair that people in sparsely populated counties might have the chance, although no one issues these permits, to carry, and I can't carry here. What the heck's the deal? That's not equal protection under the law, which is guaranteed under the 14th Amendment. The time has come for Jefferson, folks. We can fix all of this at the same time with our own state. So let's work for liberty, vote, start doing something, no matter how small it is, to help regain liberty in hopefully the 51st state. The time has come for 51.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Yeah, you know, a lot of good points today. But again, the real deal is we're looking at representation as a silver bullet. And the Second Amendment protects representation. That's why it's there.
And, well, and the other thing, too, you know, when Mark was talking about things not happening, it's with the court case specifically, we have a lot of patriots out there that are working their tails off, doing all kinds of stuff, getting the word out, doing the brochures, having the town halls. Last weekend, we had our group here at the home show, and Margie did a stellar job getting the group coordinated and having everybody there and getting the word out. And I actually spoke to two people that went to the home show that actually stopped by the booth and talked to them, and they people that I know, and they said they were very impressed on the knowledge, the information, and professionalism that our team handled the booth. And so that was good to hear. I mean, you don't always hear that, and that was totally unsolicited. They came to me individually, separately, and told me that. So that's really good to hear, and kudos to our team for doing that here in Shasta County. But we have people out there working all the time on all kinds of stuff. Just because people don't see things happening or don't hear of things happening does not mean things are not happening. The court case is, as we all, well, Mark and Terry and I specifically know, is very, very time-consuming. Very time-consuming, and we're on phone all the time with the attorneys, doing what we need to do, going over documents, going over paperwork, having discussions, good, solid, sometimes passionate discussions about what needs to be in the documents, and making sure that we're all on the same page. And we do that consistently, weekly, all the time, and it's a good thing. We're fighting the fight behind the scenes. So people that are not in the loop, they think they may be in the loop, but they're not in the loop. That's okay. We have all levels of things going on, and everybody needs to do their part. So please continue the work. Keep fighting the fight, like Mark always encourages us to do. We are doing that. So everybody's working hard and diligent to make this thing happen, and it's going to take all of us to do it. We cannot let up one iota, and we cannot fight amongst ourselves about, you know, who's doing what, who's not doing what. We have to work hard. We have to keep doing what we need to do, and there are going to be other things rolling out here pretty soon, hopefully, as plans allow these things to happen. It takes time to put things together, and it takes time for dialogue to occur and people to wrap their head around the processes and so forth. So please know that things are happening. So that's my two cents.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Thank you, brother. One thing, too, I know a lot of our people are working on elections, and yes, we're still in the state of California, people like Mark Muser.
Absolutely.
Judge Bailey, Cox, you know. We have to vote for those people so that they get into office. And that's, and a lot of people are working on those situations. I know there's a lot of people that are talking to Republican Central Committees. There's people out there in the Libertarian Party. There's a lot of independents out there all working hard to go ahead and make sure that they have their rights and their voices heard.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good thing. We have to continue to do that. I know a lot of our folks are working on that. And the more we can bring people together, the better.
Right.
I mean, the real deal is we all want liberty. The real deal is we all want to make sure that we have a choice for liberty. We have a great Constitution. And we will have an absolutely tons of new stuff right after the election's over. But a lot of folks are working on that. And, yeah, we do need to. we need to go ahead and buy some of this time because time has really come.
For 51. You don't serve us, you serve L.A. The time has come for 51
in the Jefferson state of mind. You're listening to KCNR 1460, Community Talk Radio for the North State.